I will praise you, Lord, among the nations. I will sing of you among the peoples, for great is your love, reaching to the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. And all of God's people say, Amen. I was trying to illustrate in some way that I think sometimes we begin by hoping. So that little mouse, he's surrounded by things that frighten him, surrounded by things that he feels want to gobble him up, things that want to hurt him. And I think that's a little bit like us, that we feel a bit frightened about the world. And so we start to hope that maybe there's something else there, something that's on our side, something that will protect us and keep us safe. And we hope for that. We cling to that hope. And then we discover, as we walk through life, that perhaps our hope is more than just a hope. And we pray and we hope that we may, even in our own lives, in our own hearts and our own minds, meet with that hope. Now, I don't think God is anything like, he hasn't got horns and he hasn't got a wart on the end of his nose and he hasn't got a Scottish accent, I don't think. But he is big. Bigger than our wildest dreams, bigger than our wildest imaginings. And in some ways that's quite frightening because we get frightened by things that are way too big for us. But we come to know that even though God is the God of the universe, God has made absolutely everything, that he is good and that he's on our side. And then when we know that, we can go back into the world and face our owls and our foxes and our snakes with confidence. Perhaps not quite as cocky as that certain mouse, but with confidence that we're not on our own. And we're going to talk a little bit in the moment that Jesus talks about, you just have to trust a little bit. Just have to trust a little bit and know how big God is, and then the world starts to change around you, and you can feel confident about going out there and facing things that perhaps before terrified you. It's Matthew 17, 14 to 20. When they came to the crowd, a man approached Jesus and knelt before him. Lord, have mercy on my son, he said. He has seizures and is suffering greatly. He often falls into the fire or into the water. I brought him to your disciples, but they could not heal him. You unbelieving and perverse generation, Jesus replied, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me. Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of the boy, and he was healed at that moment. Then the disciples came to Jesus in private and asked, why couldn't we drive it out? He replied, because you have so little faith. Truly, I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. So, over the past few weeks, we've been looking at the gospel, which we know as the good news of Jesus Christ, his life, his death, and his resurrection to new life. But in particular, we've been looking at the implications that this has for our lives. If we believe what we say we believe, then what should our lives really look like? So when Jesus is asked by his disciples why they are unable to heal, why they need more faith, the sort of faith that can drive demons out, Jesus answers them. He says, it takes only faith the size of a tiny, tiny, tiny mustard seed. It takes just a little tiny bit of you. A little faith in your heart, a little trust in God. a little confidence in his true goodness, and a little gratitude for his abundant grace. It takes just a little faith. You, he says, to all of us, I think, you can make a huge difference in this world. No matter that you feel like a little scared mouse, you can make a huge difference in this world. A difference completely out of proportion with your faith and your strength, or what you might believe. Jesus talked about moving mountains by faith. You can say to the mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. In fact, nothing will be impossible for you. And that's quite a claim, isn't it? Because the only other person, the only other being that is ever referred to as being able to do the impossible is God himself. For God, nothing is impossible. With just a little faith, you can move something that you think is immovable. That great volcano. A big tree of hate. A mountain of rage. An ocean of unforgiveness. You can move it. We only need a little faith because our faith is in the God who created all things. Our faith is in a God who can truly do the impossible. Itsy bitsy tiny little bit of faith, but a huge and mighty God. God's grace is such an incredible, indescribable force that it breaks the grip of all that seems impossible. It breaks the grip of evil and even of death itself. And it casts out those demons inside of us. God's goodness and faithfulness fills the whole of creation, the heavens, the clouds, the mountains, so that all of life is founded on this relationship with him. We are his. And so what, obviously then, if that is true, what counts is our trust in that God as much as we can manage. The trust to let the mystery of God live and breathe in us so that we are filled to overflowing. Walter Brueggemann says, the world oozes in all parts with God's faithfulness. I love that. The world oozes with God's faithfulness. So together, as his church, as his people, we need to keep reminding ourselves of the greatness, the compassion and the mercy of God. Love which is endless and is always absolutely faithful. God is loyal to us all, always. His loyalty is so great, our faith only has to be tiny. Friends, he goes on and on and on, inviting us beyond our disbelief to come home from our lostness, to leave behind our fears and our brokenness, to walk with him and to seek his good and loving will for us and for everyone, for the whole of creation, without exception. So, from our reading today, you'll remember the father who wanted Jesus so much to heal his son. And Jesus asks that desperate man if he believes that Jesus can heal him. And the man replies, I do believe. Help me to overcome my unbelief. Do you remember that? Has that ever struck you before? The power of that. I do believe. Please forgive my unbelief. I so much want to believe. I so much want to hold on. Please forgive my unbelief. In other words, I have little faith. Faith as small as a mustard seed. Please help me with my doubt. Please help me with my fear. Please help me with my disbelief. And for Jesus, for God, that is enough. And Jesus heals that boy. Walter Brueggemann, again, says that the deep truth of our faith is that we are called away from our own life to God's life and then sent back to live God's life here. Isn't that lovely? Called away from the life that we think is good and right, and that wide path that Jesus talks about, that broad road that so often leads to destruction. We're called away from that into God's life so that we can be sent back into the world with God's life. And all it takes is a little bit of you. Our life is not our own. We are not free to do what we want. Instead, we are held safely in the hands of God. God, who knows fully and completely what we need. Of course he does. He made us. We are his. What we need, he knows, and he desires for us peace and life and joy and wholeness. So as we trust that, God's speech becomes our speech. God's speech changes our speech. God's actions transform our actions. God's reality changes how we see and feel the reality all around us. Now, the truth is, we all know that the fear and the hurt is still there. We've all experienced it from time to time. But now they are contained within God's mercy, within the one we know is there, who is greater, higher than the highest mountain, wider than the widest sea. We are not alone. To be our best and true selves in a best and true world means to live in faith in faithfulness, to trust in God's faithfulness, faithfully being who we truly are. And we remind ourselves week in, week out, but we must do it every day, every moment possible, who we really are, because we are so forgetful. You are the children of the living God. And out of that place, we must live. We must try not to forget. We will be faithful not only then to who we are, we will be faithful to our neighbours, which is that call that runs all the way through our scriptures from beginning to end. And we all know, because Jesus has told us, who our neighbours are. Everyone. Maybe most particularly those that you don't agree with, that you don't even believe the same things as. They are all your neighbours, and you are called to love them faithfully. And of course, got faithful to God himself, who is faithful to all of you. We can have our lives changed with just a mustard seed of faith. We all, every one of us, stand on the edge day by day of that possibility. We can live differently. Because we trust as much as we can, not perfectly, but as much as we can, in a God who is perfect. We, all of us, are invited to bend. We're invited to tilt, like the Tower of Pisa. I can't do it because I'll fall over. Yes, I will. Our life's work is to tilt, to lean, to bend everything we have towards the one that we trust, the one that we love. You will bend towards the things you trust. Jesus said it time and time again, and often it's money, right? So our whole lives bend towards the need to make lots of money, keep lots of money, store away lots of money. That's what we do. Really, knowing that that's really making us unstable. When we lean towards God, when we lean towards the one who is completely and totally trustworthy, we are held. And we know that we're in the right place. So again, our task of faith, our gospel responsibility, is to find ways to lose our lives in joy and obedience, in praise and prayer, and to find our lives beyond our greatest hope. Jesus talks about a yoke, and he tells us that we must take up his yoke, because most of us have fallen into carrying yokes which are demanding, they're heavy, they're damaging, they rub us raw, they crush us. So Jesus says, pick up my yoke, a yoke of faith, and trust in me. Yes, it has its demands. My invitation is not cheap, but its demands are different. They are not crushing. They will not kill you. They will offer you freedom. My demands will give you freedom to love God and your neighbours. Jesus' yoke, I think, is the deepest satisfaction that any of us can ever have. And what do I mean by that? What I mean is that when you carry Jesus' yoke, you feel that your clothes fit, that you're wearing the right shoes, that you are standing in the right place, that you feel complete, even when the circumstances around you are very difficult. I remember Jane saying to me that she could not imagine being anywhere else or doing anything other than standing on that dump site. That is being complete. That is carrying the yoke of Christ. Knowing you are truly doing what you are and who you are. I think that is the gospel way of walking and tilting and bending. Jesus says, at the very center of your life, at the center of your identity, right here in the middle, we must try to have faith. As much as we can today, as much as we can tomorrow. Have faith in my faithful Father. Seek his kingdom in all that you do. As best you can, set aside your fears. As best you can, put aside your cynicism. As best you can, lay aside your despair and doubt. Don't please, please, please be split piece by piece away from your wholeness. God is endlessly faithful. He waits and watches, he searches for you. Just a little faith in him transforms everything. Faith, then, is our gospel call, because it is the best news in the world, for the world, and for all of you. Amen.